Some of you, second time that you've never seen me, my name is Wagner. I'm the pastor of this church. You can call me Varys. Okay with that. Really, can you just lower it a bit for me this thing? We are finishing off tonight with our sermon series. Right? We've been talking about Picky Works. Is that awesome? That's good. The last month, we've been talking through hearing the voice of God. Who's been enjoying that? Anyone learning anything? Awesome, awesome. So we're finishing off tonight with one of my favorite parables as we're going to apply to hearing God's voice. And I just know you're going to be blessed tonight. I'm not going to do the whole big recap. I'm just going to quickly show you. If we can just go to the second slide. This is just what we did the last 2 weeks. We said there's many ways in which God speaks to us. In our hearts, mostly it's an unction or an impression. We feel, oh, something, I feel I must do something, or I feel I should do something. And you may have a dream, or you may someone may tell you, listen, I think I've got a prophetic word for you. We get that in our church a lot. That's a good thing. It's in the Bible. But then we also say that there's many ways in which we should test whether something is from God, because the information can be very overwhelming. Amen. And there's just six tests that we went through in the last while. What does the Word of God say about it? Does this thing that I feel I should do make me more like Jesus? Does my church family confirm this? Is this your shape? Okay. Download the sermon for one that conviction or condemnation and hearing for others. So Steph is doing an amazing work. He is he got the right app or something, so he's every Sunday night, he puts the sermon on. So you can download, actually, also tonight, the whole Hearing God's Voice sermon package of four. Put it on a folder on your computer and listen to it in your car. That's better than Yakaranda, amen? So Good Life FM is good, but sermons is maybe a bit better. So tonight we're finishing off, and the title for tonight, as it fits in, is Hearts That Hear. Hearts that hear. And if I need to put it almost on the playing field for what we've been doing the last month, we started very externally. Something comes to you. You feel something. You dream something. And someone says something to you. You are receiving something from the outside. And then we spoke about how do you taste it, all right? But it's also still on the outside. Tonight we're moving to what makes me a receiver of God's word. Alright? Because it's great. We know God communicates. Amen? Who knows that? He speaks. We had that scripture up for 3 weeks. My sheep hears my voice, and the voice of the stranger, they will not follow because they don't know the stranger. Does God speak? Yes, constantly, for sure. How do I hear? How's my hearing? That's another way of putting tonight's thing. How's my hearing? And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through one of my favorite parables. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it first. Alright? And then I'm going to show you a video clip because we love movie. Luke 8 verse 5 takes you to the parable of the sower. I'm going to read it very slowly. Enjoy it. Try and see this thing in front of you. Some of you grew up on farms. If you don't know what a farm is like, think it out. See if you can almost make a mental image of every verse we go through. This is Jesus speaking to the people. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell. That's a lot of S's. That can make like a bit of a... How's that for like... For your class, Nicole, like a sower went out to sow his seed and sowed some fell. Is it too high grade? Okay, in any case, for us, we can do it tonight. Please don't lose me. He sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and it choked. Some fell into good soil, praise God for that, amen, and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Alright? Now when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Listen, I'm not going to go into depth with verse 10. It might be a difficult one. Jesus is saying one thing here in verse 10. "To you it has been given." If you have the ability to hear the voice of God in your heart, if you've got that ability to worship and to feel a connection with God, be glad. That's all I'm saying. If there's a sense to you that there's something happening in your heart, it doesn't matter, even if he calls you to make a decision that freaks you out because it is like, whoa, how am I going to do this? Just be happy. He's speaking to you. And you are hearing. That's what he's saying to this group of people, alright? Ad break over, let's go on. Verse 11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." And the last verse. "As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with, very importantly, patience." Okay, mouthful. One of my favorite parables. I love this. I preach about this in one other way once a year at least, because I just believe this is so powerful. Let's quickly do the movie thing, and then I'll carry on. Not everything on this is as good as this, though. Okay.
basically, overview.
The Word of God is a seed. Oh, look at that slide there. The seed is capable of yielding fruit. It'll get better, don't worry. The seed is capable of yielding fruit, right? What does that mean for you and me? It means God's Word, the Bible, right? And the Word He speaks in your heart, which is really from Him, because we've tested it in the last few weeks, right? It's just called the one word. The Logos and the one spoken to you in your heart is called the Rhema, right? Now, we can put them together as long as it's from God, alright? The Word of God does what? It bears fruit. It's got the ability to bear fruit. Just like a seed has got the ability to produce a plant. But now, there's a snag there, and that is that the soil is my heart. Alright? Which means that my heart and my life has the ability, if the Word of God comes on it, to bear fruit. And that's what we want. Amen? To bear fruit. To make a difference. To be productive for God, so that He will one day tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. And we are able to do that. Our hearts, as soil, we can produce something. Okay. Very important, the soil has the ability of receiving the seed. Okay, are you with me for that? Just the different faculties in that one. Now, I'm going to give you, how many have we got to end? Five. Correct. I'm going to give you five main thoughts out of the parable of the sower, which relates to you accepting, receiving the Word of God in a way that it will bear fruit. Because we know now He speaks to us, and we know how to test more or less. We've used many examples, and I'm not going to repeat them, because some of them is really bad, because I thought them out myself. Alright? But now, if something gets spoken into your heart and you can write it down these ways to test it, know that. But now let's talk about our hearts. Let's talk about our positioning. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go to two verses that's before the parable, alright? It happens just before the parable. The one is Luke 8 verse 1, and then Luke 8 verse 4. And I want you to follow me, and this is very important. Just before Jesus speaks to these people, Luke writes, he says, soon afterward, whatever happened in chapter 7, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing good news of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was doing at the time. Was going to the cities and the towns, and the 12 were with him, the disciples. Now check verse 4, I'm skipping two verses. Check verse 4. When a crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he started this parable. Now what's odd there, and that's the amazing thing of the gospel, it's the narrative, the story is in such a way, if you read it slowly, there's a lot of things to read between the lines, which is amazing. Jesus was going to those towns. Are you with me? That's what this one said. He's going to those towns. So think about it this way. He's going to Evander. He's coming to Secunda. He's going to Kinross. He's going to each of those towns. Alright? People know it. They're not stupid. They've got messages. He's coming. Prepare the way for him. He's going to preach and everything like that. But now it says there was a crowd with a gathering of people from town after town. Now what that means is that some of the people that experienced his preaching did not want him just to go to the next town. They wanted to hear him preach again. So what did they do? They would continue with him. Because the people that was there was from many towns. But he's going to every town. But that's the point. Some of them was not satisfied with him just hearing him once. They wanted to hear him. Other people, hearing he was coming, couldn't wait. They came out as well. So he sees all these people coming out. Hey guys, I'm coming to you, but they're coming out. Why? Because they're thirsty. They want to have an encounter with Jesus. And isn't it strange? And Jesus is so delighted with the crowd in front of him because they are hungry hearers. And he says, let me tell you a parable about a sower. And I'm telling you now, Jesus is speaking to those people and he's telling them they are the good soil. They are the ones that prepared their hearts to come. They were ready to hear. They would not do all this effort, come all the way, leave their jobs, their families to hear and then turn around. Are you with me? For those people to come out of the town to hear Jesus cost them something. Maybe they were, even if they were making, you're making a carpet, you're making tables, or whatever, alright? You must leave it to go to Jesus. Or if you had something planned, you had to leave it. It cost you something. The same for you tonight, isn't that true? Who's got something else to do? Let's be honest at this moment. Who's got something else to do that's important? You can be honest. I've got stuff to do. You've got stuff to do, but you are here, right? To hear the voice of God, to hear preaching, but also his voice will always cost you something. Know it. It will take petrol. It will take time. It will take the 8 o'clock movie at times. Alright? Ah, he just gets a cop. Ay, let it be. Today, I get PBR. It will cost you something to hear the word of God. Listen, plant it this weekend. I'm telling you, I grew this weekend like this. It cost me the whole weekend. Okay? Weekends is for resting. Now this one, we had church the whole weekend. It cost me something, but what is in my heart cannot be taken away. Okay? But tonight, if you are here, I'm going to tell you, well done. It cost you something. I know. For some of it, it cost a lot of courage to be here. Alright? Man, I'm scared of church. I haven't been in church for a long time. Or those people lift their hands when they sing and you are still here. It cost you something. It will always cost you something to hear the voice of God. Write it down. It will always cost you something. Okay? Well, the first point I want to make, if you want to hear God's voice, and please download those sermons and make a fold and listen to it again. On all those things and God and all the ways he speaks. Number one, only seeking hearts can hear his voice often. Listen, if you don't want to hear his voice, you're not going to hear his voice. And the same for me. It's obvious, okay? Make sense? Seeking hearts hears more often. And you know what? There is that times in my life when I ask myself, when last have I heard the voice of God? And a lot of you will have that question. Some of you will say, how do you hear God's voice? I'm not sure. Let me tell you what it starts with, making time. You need to get alone. Okay? It's hard for me to hear the voice of God because on the one side, my wife is cooking. On the other side, I've got emails coming through and Caleb is watching Frozen. Alright? That's difficult. I need to be in a place, in a space where I can hear. Alright? Maybe for you to put on a worship song, sing along. Maybe it's to be dead quiet. But if I'm not going to position myself in a position that I can hear, I cannot hear. That's obvious. Guys, amen? Okay? But Jesus knew it and he was blessed with those people taking the time and the effort, making the plans required to hear his voice. I want to challenge you. Try and do this. If you've got quiet times, but you don't have a lot of time before work, but you are faithful with quiet times, get once or twice a week where you go and it's hearing God's voice out. Just go and walk. Where you're not going to see people. Don't go and walk in the mall, please. Go to work. Okay? Because all you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say, buy that TV, buy that. I need another pair of shoes. Oh, God. Oh, if you want to bless me, all right. Okay, go outside. Go in the fields. And go and hear his voice. Just on a practical level, just two things I want to say with this. Seeking hearts, hears more often. But I also want to say something with hearing. Hearing God's voice and hearing from God requires from you to grow as a student of God's word. What that means is if you get baptized, all right? Make sure you can explain to someone why. Be also a hearer in such a way that you can be a talker about it. Does that make sense? If someone asks you, how can it be that Jesus can forgive me? Do you know what I've done in my life? I've had that question many times. I said, listen, then God is calling you. Turn to Him. And He will wash it. And someone will say, you don't know what I've done. What's your answer? Run. Make sure you know how to answer the basic questions. Jesus saves with blood, His blood. So it's not on your merit, but on His. Okay? Make sure you've got one or two scriptures you can quote about that. Be a hearer that can be a testifier. Right. Are we happy with one? Great. Who's hungry? Like I'm like literally hungry as well. But I'm more hungry for God's word. But I can't keep you too long because, you know, I've got a hunger. Oh, I'm telling you. Stop talking nonsense. Alright, now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the first type of soil, and I'm also going to give you Jesus' explanation on the same slide. Can we go to the next slide? And then we'll take them one by one. Okay, so the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, just repeating that, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. This is Jesus' explanation about that. Listen, can I challenge you tonight? Is that okay? I want to tell you one thing. When I meet up with people, when they come back to me after they've been in church for a while, they always thank me for one thing. They say, thank you for being straight. And I often think, but that's what people don't like, because you must, you know, make things nice. So I'm going to bring it straight tonight. Is that okay? I know you like it. I know you like to be challenged. Jesus explains it like this. He says, the one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Is everyone saved in this world? Ah, scripture is clear, right? Does everyone have the opportunity to be saved? Yes. Alright? Now, this type of seed falls, and that's about as far as it goes. Right? Now, in a certain way, the devil can only take what is given to him. Right? And Jesus said something about this. He said, if a thief, spiritually speaking, comes to your home, he can only come in if he overpowers the strong man. Right? Which means there's something within your spirit before God that gives you the ability to say no when the enemy comes. Do you know that? You are not just a slave to temptation, alright? You're not just a subject to whatever comes your way. You, within God, can become the strong man of your own life. If you are married, we teach you these things at Foundation 3. You become the strong man of your family, alright? In my home, I'm the strong man. Spiritually, I stand at the door, and the enemy is not allowed to come in and just cause havoc. Because God has appointed me and anointed me to be a strong man. Does that make sense? Now, what is the problem here? The problem here is the following. If we go to the next slide. We're talking about the careless hearer. Alright? The careless hearer. Does he hear the word? Yes. Does he come to church and hear maybe? Listen, two people hear the same sermon. Alright? One's life changed. They take a step of faith and they will never be the same. Another person walks out unchanged. Does that make sense? How does that work? It's spiritual, alright? So we get a careless hearer. And there's the three strategies that the enemy uses to help this careless hearer to lose the seed, okay? So that he may not believe and be saved, alright? But you can also apply it to you are already a believer. Right? And God is speaking to you into an area He wants you to grow. Right? You are His child already, and now He's calling you, He wants you to grow. He is challenging you with something. He says, listen, this was great up to now. Now I want you to grow beyond. And even with that voice at that moment, you can be careless and you won't grow. Right? Are you still a believer? Yes. Are you with me? We can use it like that as well. Alright? But in the same way, we can say, listen, there's a voice calling out to every human being. Come to me. If I don't listen to this, if I don't listen to that voice, I don't believe and I will not be saved. Amen? Make sense? I need you to be able to apply it in your life. The one makes you an unfaithful servant, and the other one makes you not a servant at all. Are you with me? Everyone with me? Awesome. Okay. Number one, the enemy wants to keep you just straight from believing the word. Done. You hear it like that little guy on the movie, Bible over here. Okay? You don't believe it at all. The second thing is, if you believe it for a moment, if there's a moment in church, your heart beats and it's like, there's something here, he wants to remove it as fast as he can. Alright? As fast as he can. Can you see that? Yes. And then if you remember it, place contempt upon it. What does it mean, that word contempt? It means, it's not like you're trying to be rude with God. Please hear me here, but it means you deem the word of God worthless in a situation. Right? I do that at times as well. I have to say sorry about it. We all do it at times. But that's dangerous. That's why it's the careless hearer. God speaks to you. He's here to help you in a very sensitive or maybe a very personal situation in your life. He's coming and he is giving you the answer. He's leading you here. He's helping you. But because maybe it's difficult, you deem that leading is worthless. And that was your saving grace. Alright? That was the word God has sent to you to help you. Alright? Can anyone think of a situation in their life and relate to what I'm saying here? Okay? It's not like you don't hear, it's just you don't want to hear what is said to you. Even if you would have to look at those statements, you can say, listen, this is from God, but I'm not going to do this now. I'm turning my back and I'm choosing another road. And I want to go beyond and I want to tell you, even if you say no to God, and you're not listening to his leading, when you decide today to follow me, he'll be there for you. He will. But why put yourself through unnecessary pain? This morning we spoke about Jonah. And you know what he did? I like that map. That map was awesome. So God says, go here. He goes the opposite way. Okay? And the whale vomits him out exactly where he started. A few days later, with Mars up on the trunk. Alright? And he's back at square one. Then he goes, why? And so if you feel, and we all have a bit of each of this in us, if you feel at times you are a careless hearer, please, I'm pleading with you. You are just going in circles until the day you say, yes, you know what, God is faithful, he's there because he loves you. Make sense? That is the seed that falls on the path. Awesome. Number two, the careless hearer cannot receive the word of God. It's there, alright? It's not that there's not leading. It's not that like there's not wise people, amazing small group leaders and people to help you. It's just you know what they're going to say. Right? I've been there as well, alright? But because I love you, I want to encourage you. Listen to that voice. He wants to help you and be kind to you. Can I get an amen? Awesome. Can we go on? Everyone happy? Who is happy? Yeah, this happens fine. Okay, doing the same thing. The next piece of soil and then Jesus' explanation. Verse 6. Some fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And the ones on the rock, this is not Jesus, a few verses later, are those, when they hear the word, They receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Alright? It's an example of a rock. It's another example of how my receiver may act, and my heart is a receiver. Okay, now, how this looks like, before I explain it a bit, it looks a bit like this. Something happens in church, and you get courage in church. We've all experienced it before. It's like, for the first time in a long time, you're like, I can actually do this. It's like something gets stirred in your heart, maybe through the worship, maybe through the preaching, maybe through someone praying with you. But for the first time, there's hope for you. But when you walk away from church, you enter the week, it's like that hope, it falls straight on the ground. Who's experienced that before? Alright, not only me. I'm glad. Alright. Now, specifically, to the soil that's a rock, right? And how it differs to the thorns, is the rock, the temptation that takes the hope away in this instance is people. Okay? Your temptation and your challenge in this situation is humans. Alright? In a time of testing, it falls away. So, it may be that you're not that careless. Man, this is from God, and this is actually precious. This is what I'm hearing here, what I'm reading in the Word. This is amazing stuff. You acknowledge, are you with me? It's not like you throw it away. You know that this is actually something very amazing communicated to you. And you recognize it. You will also tell your friend, I've got respect for God, right, and His Word. But the problem is when the heat is on with your friends, it's too hot. Presses you down. And we've all experienced this in one case or another. Alright? Now what happens here, and let me tell you this, if you decide to follow Jesus, write it somewhere where you see it every day, or better, write it on your heart. I promise you, people will have a problem with you. Not once, every now and then. Because you are standing for something. Alright? Now we've got this cool saying, it says, if you don't stand for anything, you will fall for everything. Alright? If you're going to take a stand for anything in this world, that means if you force something, you make a decision, there's other people that's making another decision and you're in trouble. And the same with your faith. The question here is, who are you more eager to please? God, which we cannot see, but we know He's here. Like tonight when we were worshiping, that was amazing work in the band. We know He's here. Right? Or our friends that we can see. Who am I more willing to please? And the problem with the soil is, when the heat is on, and when there's people to please, they fall. Okay, and their faith, that moment, falls to the ground. It happens. It has happened to all of us at some other stage. And the thing how it works is, it can be the smiles or the frowns of people that hurt your faith. Alright? What do I mean by smiles? Is you're discovering God and then this thing that pops up. I call him the guy with the golden smile. Alright? God is starting to work in someone's life. And I see this person is turning around, and then a guy arrives with a golden smile. Ding. And there's trouble. And everything that was built up in that first few weeks of that month, it is gone. You know what I'm talking about? Or it can be something else. It can be something like, you've got this group of friends, and you know what? You literally, it is too difficult for you to stand up for God there and say you blend in. Before you know it, your faith starts for a while on a rock, then the sun comes and it's dead. And you've lost that thing that actually changed hearts because you've been changed. Right? If the gospel don't change me and make me bold, my friends will change me and they will reach me. You will reach people, you will be reached. And in this case, what happens is that the pressure is too much. When it comes to friends or family, people. Does it make sense? And so now it doesn't matter whether God speaks and whether we know it. This is really a word from God, because you know what? You're not going to listen to it. In any case, I'm talking to you. I'm talking through the example. Alright? I know you will listen. And so that's number three. The hearer that is scared, sorry, of the opinion of man hears with difficulty. If you think, and we all think like that, it's in us all in some other extent. So please don't feel, oh, ek swerm, ek sak. Relax. We're here because God is helping us. If God is speaking to you about something, you hear something, whether it's a mission trip or small group, and this thing comes up, what will my friends say? Bing. Thank you, Lord, that you are showing me, because what is revealing to you, right, is that up to now, you have been making decisions according to what people will say about you. And that's a massive, massive, massive thing in our lives. And what God is inviting you to, he's saying, come to me. I want you to live to please the audience of one. Live only to please me. That means that you will meet up with some brave people. If you choose to follow God, right? If this temptation comes and you move your heart, let me tell you the amazing thing that happens when you move away from the approval of friends to the approval of God, is you meet people on the other side that have done the same. Right? You meet up with people who also chose to follow God over friends. Now when you trust God and you move over to this side where you meet up with people that also live to please God, when you're in trouble, you are covered. Because you were the bunch of brave people that will die for you probably. But if I live and I've been there in my life, and some of you will say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. If you try and please everyone, day you're in trouble, there's no one there for you. Because you are with a bunch of people that lives for the opinion of people, and that will come back with. And so when you need someone to be strong for you, when you need that man to stand up for you, he won't. Because he's been trained not to. He's been trained to please the masses. And so when you need him to stand up for you, but the masses wants him to do something else, you're on your own. Alright? And that can link in with relationships and everything. Get to this side and please God. And meet with the brave people. Those are the people you want to walk with. Are you with me? Amen. That's where you want to be. You will never, ever be alone. Will there be people that talk about you bad things? Yes. Will there be people that think you are weird? Yes. But you're not alone. You're with the brave people. In fact, if I've got a lot of stuff to say about you, it shows to my own loneliness. Okay. So I want to encourage you. What we're going to do at the end is we're going to just give an opportunity that you can move your heart from a specific type of soil to a good soil. Alright? And if, please don't feel bad if you say, oh man, I brought it in my... Listen, I'm not thinking of one of you guys, so you can just relax. Okay? If it feels like it's for you, say, hey, if God speaks, be so happy that you can hear it. Amen? Alright. Can I just give you another tip there? This will help you a lot. And once again, sorry for my spelling. It will now come up on everyone. It's number three. Patience. When you come to God, you give your life to Him, it doesn't matter how broken you are, okay? It does doesn't matter what you've done. If you come to Him, He is pleased with you. Who agrees with me? Why is He pleased with you? Because the price that was paid for your heart pleased Him. Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Can you ever please all the people in your life? You will get on a treadmill and it will make you so tired you'll end up on the floor. You cannot please men. It's impossible to please humans because they don't know what they want. One day I want this, one day I want that. And you are with a bunch of people like that, you can never please them. Can you please God? Yes. You don't even have to be perfect. You just have to call out to Him and He's pleased with you. Isn't that amazing? And we're longing for that. Listen, don't say, except like your mother, that came into you. You want it because you're made like it. You are made to be accepted by something. You're made to be accepted by God. And so if we don't get accepted by God, we want to be accepted by someone. Sometimes our fathers. And then what they do is they divorce my mother. Alright? And then I can't get accepted from that person. So I go to the next, and I never get it. This is such a deep trap. So I want to ask you again, because I love you guys a lot. Don't fall for the approval of man. That trap will just get faster. You never get off. Amen? Awesome. Awesome. Say awesome.
Awesome.
Right. almost done. And some fell on the thorns, verse 7. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Right? Let's not try and act that on stage with the choking and everything. Let's just leave it there on the screen. And as for what fell among the thorns, this is Jesus speaking, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not matter. Now, the thorns is a bit different than the rock. Okay, both has got a temptation. The one temptation is to please mankind. Okay, the voice of people, right? Or we call it also the fear of man. So the Bible actually poses a question. Who do you fear most? Do you fear man or fear God? Right? So it's good to fear God. It means I want to please God. Right? I'm jealous for God's opinion of me to be good. Rather than the opinion of man. But now when we go to the thorns, we're moving a bit away from pleasing man to having stuff. Because you get people that kind of get into a life where at school they didn't have a lot of friends, so they kind of go on their own and they're in a way okay with people not talking to them because of their hurts, but what they want is stuff. Alright? Stuff you can buy. Stuff you can enjoy, stuff you can drive, stuff you can fly, or whatever. Okay, stuff you can wear, alright, ladies. Those are things that the Bible says, these things, it's stupid. I mean, we're talking about metal, we're talking about clothes. You know what the Bible says? Those things can steal the voice of God out of your heart. Can you believe it? It happens in my life. I'm like, whoa, I am so weak. That stuff that can't even talk, that can't even respond to a question, can steal the word of God out of my life because I desire after it. Can you believe it? That's us, guys. That's the hot mess we're in, okay? Is it a sin to have stuff? No, there's nothing wrong with it. But the enemy wants you to make stuff your God. And once again, you're on a treadmill. You never satisfy. Maybe for a day, because you've got this thing. Then there's the next, and there's the next, and there's the next. How can you answer yourself whether this thing maybe has got a bit of a hold on you? Can I answer that for you? Do you have debt? Yes, gold. I'm not talking about a house. Do you struggle with debt? Come out of it. Okay? That's your grace tonight. You've got a big credit card thing to pay because you had to buy all this stuff. Please listen to me. Don't feel bad. Don't feel condemned. Speak to someone that can help you. That's your sign. Okay? He's gracious to you. He's helping you here. Okay? I'm sorry, it's very straight. But you don't have to put up your hand and say that to me. Okay. You can keep it a secret from us. You can talk to your small group leader personally and say, listen, help me. Because there's ways to get out. Someone can help you. Amen? But that's a warning sign, alright? Because you know what? God wants you, and this is the truth, financially to be blessed. That means He wants it to work for you. Amen? He wants you to be able to make good decisions. He wants you to come out. In fact, He wants you to come out in such a way that you can bless others so that He will bless you with more and more. He wants you to be a giver. He wants to give you, every one of you here tonight, okay? God wants to do the work with your finances. Okay? We're talking about stuff here. Finances buy stuff. So, okay? And let me tell you this, He wants you to be free. He wants you to do well. Alright? Because He's given you the ability to think. He's also giving you the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen? So what this often does in my heart as well, I've been caught up in stuff now I've been trying to buy this stupid flat and then it's been taking a week of my thoughts. Right? Every time I go to bed, I think about this thing, what do I need to send in, what if they say no, and it happens to all of us in some other way. And you know, the bad thing about this material things is you hear God's voice here because you're focused, you go out there, and all that speaks to you is stuff. And all of us actually long to hear God's voice through the whole week, amen? And now all I can think about is stuff. Or the other thing about financial debt that's not nice is now you're worried about it. God doesn't want you to worry about all this money you have to pay the whole time. The enemy loves it for you to worry the whole time. How will I make it? Because it makes you anxious. Okay, it causes you to worry. And He loves it. You know what? Do you know when you are worried, your ability to make good decisions goes down as well. The moment you are anxious, when you are worried, you make another bad decision. That's why if you are anxious, please listen to me. Small group leaders, can you just quickly stand up? Please, guys, yourself here. Okay. There's other awesome guys as well. These are the small group leaders. Please look around. If you are worried about something, get to one of these guys. Because you know what? God wants to deal with that worry. And let someone help you make a good decision. Amen? You can sit down. You've got the ability. That's why Jesus told this parable. You've got the ability when it comes to hearing God's voice to change the type of soil that your heart is. Right? You've got the ability to change it by bringing it to God. So what I don't want you to think is, listen, if you discover it, it's God's grace to you because you can move it. Amen? Tonight, you can make a move. That's awesome. Number four, the man positioned in the material world cannot bring seed to maturity. Right? Because when push comes to shove, even if that word of God starts to work in your life, and there's like something coming up and it's just looking good, God will tremble. God worries of this world, material stuff, all those things, right? It's difficult to talk about because it feels very personal. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you maybe feel, Harris is nou vanaand weer besig om met my te praat, om my pak sla te gee, en lelik te wees. I'm sorry guys, it's the truth, I love you guys a lot. And it's my privilege to share these things with my son as he grows up. Because my dad didn't share it with me. And we always say, a real friendship can talk about the things that really matters. Amen. But the stuff that really matters is also the stuff that's the most difficult to talk about, isn't that true? Okay? It's got something to do with your heart or someone that you love in your life, or it's got something to do with your wallet, or it's got something to do with the way you behave. It's very personal. It always comes back to this is difficult. You know what? The joke is they don't talk about that stuff. But the people who really, really love them, they had in mind talking about the difficult stuff. That's why we're doing this from the pulpit. Amen. Awesome. Praise the Lord for good ground. Let's finish off. Luke 8 verse 8. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Listen, isn't that amazing? 100-fold. When we trust God, okay, when we put our faith in Him, stuff happens over and beyond what you can plan. Alright? 100-fold. I like that. As He said these things, He called out, hear His ears, let Him hear. And then He comments again, verse 15. He says, as in the good soil, they are those who are hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. How good soil works, there it is, four little points for you, if you want to write it down. Good soil, this is where all of us will finish tonight, okay? Good soil is ready to receive instruction. Okay? Now, and this is the nice thing. Don't feel bad if you feel you're making a wrong decision here or there. Why is it important that good soil receive instruction? Because we also make the wrong decisions. So God instructs us what? Hey, you've made a mistake. Don't go there. Go there. Instruction is also correction, are you with me? So even good soil, right? Even the soil, the heart that hears well, needs to be instructed. So when He instructs you, don't feel afraid. Okay? When your small group leader tells you something, listen, I don't want you to do that and sell, rather do that. That's God's instruction. It's a blessing. Don't feel, now I think you sell to come in with that. I've made a say really long time ago, brother. Okay? It's just God's instruction. Just heed it, okay? Be good soil. Just take it. Amen? Ready for duty. Now, this is very important. Why is it important? We're talking about the voice of God. God is not just speaking random stuff to you. Okay? He's not just saying, can I walk? Check that car. Listen, he can share a view with you. Don't worry. But a lot of the stuff He's saying to you is something that calls you into action. Right? Go and pray for that person. Go and give your name up to work behind the computer. Thank you, Steph and Rowena. Alright? Go and volunteer. Okay? So He's speaking to you. So the good soil, one of the characteristics is they are ready for duty. Alright? Otherwise, if the duty God is calling me to, alright, I don't want to do this because there's thorns, right? Other stuff I'd rather want to do, or because what's people going to say, or because I just don't care, right? So the good soil says, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I will do it, all right? Are you ready for duty? Okay, if He calls you to do something, make sense? All right? Keeps the word with patience. God speaks to you tonight. This is what it looks like, the good soil. Go home and share it with your husband or with your friend that you're staying with. If there's someone at work that you pray with, go and share with them. Sit on the word that God has given to you. Right? That's a way of being a good steward. Hey, can I chat to you about what God has said to me? Because first, let's go through the six. Is this God speaking to me? Yes, this sounds like God, but no, I'm freaked out because it's so big and I don't know how I'm going to do that. That's a good soil. Okay? Keeps it. And then the last one I actually love is it trembles at the word. What that means is the heart of good soil. This is our last slide basically. Almost. The heart that's good soil cannot wait to please God. Which means if they hear something, read something, experience something in church that shows them that they need to make a correction, they are so happy. Now, at your workplace maybe or at home, if you've done something wrong, there is trouble. You talk about taking your pain away or firing you. Listen, if you do something wrong and God calls you, you draw near to Him. He embraces you. I want you to know that. And that's why it's okay for us to say, hey, Lord, I realize I messed up. Hey, I want to make this right. Okay? The next slide, just put all five of them up, and I'm sure you've got a book, you've got that. Let's finish off, last slide. Lamentations. Warren, you can join me if you want to, please. Check this out, because you know what? In a certain way, the sermon has got a negative approach, because it tells you what you can do wrong. You hear me? But now, sometimes we have to do this, because if we talk about all the stuff I do wrong, it's easy for me to say, oh, that's me. Okay, I see that in my life. Oh, Lord, you've worked with me. I'm better there. So sometimes we have to wrestle through sermons like this. It's very important. But what I want you to know, I want you to read the scripture. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great are your faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? It means right now, forget what lies behind you. Right now, you can present your heart as good soil before God. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. And people told me I shouldn't do it. I said, listen, I don't care what you do. That's why Jesus died. Amen? So let's stand up tonight. And let's just respond to this. Because He is good, amen.